Chapter 19 of the Prophecy of Saint Julianus the Monk. A man who in the body imitated the lives of the bodiless, namely Julianus, surnamed in Syrian Sabbas, whose life I have written in my religious history, continued all the more zealously to offer his prayers to the God of all when he heard of the impious tyrant's threats. On the very day on which Julian was slain, he heard of the event while at his prayers. Although the monastery was distant more than 20 stages from the army, it is related that while he was invoking the Lord with loud cries and supplicating his merciful master, he suddenly checked his tears, broke into an ecstasy of delight, while his countenance was lighted up and thus signified the joy that possessed his soul. When his friends beheld this change, they begged him to tell them the reason of his gladness. "The wild boar," said he, "the enemy of the vineyard of the Lord, has paid the penalty of the wrongs he has done to him. He lies dead. His mischief is done." The whole company no sooner heard these words than they leaped with joy and struck up the song of thanksgiving to God. And from those that brought tidings of the emperor's death, they learned that it was the very day and hour when the accursed man was slain that the aged saint knew it and announced it too. Chapter 20 of the Death of the Emperor Julian in Persia. Julian's folly was yet more clearly manifested by his death. He crossed the river that separates the Roman Empire from the Persian one, brought over his army, and then forthwith burned his boats, so making his men fight not in willing, but in forced obedience. 2. The best generals are wont to fill their troops with enthusiasm, and, if they see them growing discouraged, to cheer them and raise their hopes. But Julian, by burning the bridge of retreat, cut off all good hope. A further proof of his incompetence was his failure to fulfill the duty of foraging in all directions and providing his troops with supplies. Julian had neither ordered supplies to be brought from Rome, nor did he make any bountiful provision by ravaging the enemy's country. He left the inhabited world behind him and persisted in marching through the wilderness. His soldiers had not enough to eat and drink. They were without guides. They were marching astray in a desert land. Thus they saw the folly of their most wise emperor. In the midst of their murmuring and grumbling, they suddenly found him who had struggled in mad rage against his maker wounded to death. Ares, who raises the warden, had never come to help him, as he promised Loxias had given lying divination. He who glads him in the thunderbolts had hurled no bolt on the man who dealt the fatal blow. The boasting of his threats was dashed to the ground. The name of the man who dealt that righteous stroke no one knows to this day. Some say that he was wounded by an invisible being, others by one of the nomads, who were called Ishmaelites, others by a trooper, who could not endure the pains of famine in the wilderness. But whether it were man or angel who plied the steel, without doubt the doer of the deed was the minister of the will of God. It is related that when Julian had received the wound, he filled his hand with blood, flung it into the air, and cried, "Thou hast won, O Galilean!" Thus he gave utterance at once to a confession of the victory and to a blasphemy, so infatuated was he. 1. Chapter 21 of the Sorcery at Cairo, which was detected after his death. After he was slain, the jugglery of his sorcery was detected, for Cairo is a city which still retains the relics of his false religion. Julian had left Edessa on his left, because it was adorned with the grace of true religion, and while in his vain folly he was journeying through Cairo, he came to the temple honored by the impious, and after going through certain rites with his companions in defilement, he locked and sealed the doors, and stationed sentinels with orders to see that none came until his return. When news came of his death, and the reign of iniquity was succeeded by one of piety, the shrine was opened, and within was found a proof of the late emperor's manliness, wisdom, and piety, too. For there was seen a woman hung up on high by the hairs of her head, and with her hands outstretched. The villain had cut open her belly, and so I suppose learned from her liver his victory over the Persians. 3. This was the abomination discovered at Cairo. Chapter 22 of the heads discovered in the palace at Antioch, and the public rejoicings there. It is said that at Antioch a number of chests were discovered at the palace filled with human heads, and also many wells full of corpses. Such is the teaching of the evil deities. When Antioch heard of Julian's death, she gave herself up to rejoicing and festivity, and not only was exultant joy exhibited in the churches and in the shrines of martyrs, but even in the theaters the victory of the cross was proclaimed and Julian's vaticination held up to ridicule. And here I will record the admirable utterance of the men at Antioch, that it may be preserved in the memory of generations yet to come, for with one voice the shout was raised, "Maximus, thou fool, where are thy oracles? For God has conquered, and his Christ." This was said, because there lived at that time a man of the name of Maximus, a pretender to philosophy, but really a worker of magic, and boasting himself to be able to foretell the future. But the Antiochian, who had received their divine teaching from the glorious yoke fellows Peter and Paul, and were full of warm affection for the Master and Savior of all, persisted in execrating Julian to the end. Their sentiments were perfectly well known to the object of them, and so he wrote a book against them and called it Misopogon 1. This rejoicing at the death of the tyrant shall conclude this book of thy history, for it were to my mind indecent to connect with the righteous reign the impious sovereignty of Julian,